What up, world? Back again. It is the Country Rap Report. It's your boy, Vic XL.
It's your dude, Spank. What up?
Hey, man. I've noticed every episode, like, these two parts of my neck look like greasy or something. Have you ever noticed that?
I've never noticed it, but now I'm starting to start looking for it because you go.
I don't know why, but it's just like, it almost looks like someone put me in a chokehold with chicken grease on their hand. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
Yeah, that's kind of random, fam.
Hey, man, I say a lot of random things. So, man, look, tonight is a very, very special night. But as we wait on our guests, let's chop it up.
Why not?
Let's chop it up, man.
We talking about the subject? We talking about our guest?
We can talk. No, I don't want to talk about the guests. Let's talk about the country rap money grab.
Oh shit! Let's talk about that. For those people that don't know, that was a YouTube post from Upchurch. Go look at the video. The video's still up. He went over a lot of good stuff in the video, and a lot of it was from his perspective. And I'm not saying his perspective is wrong, but it was different. Now, I know I have some varying opinions from what he said, and I guess you may have too. It was a lot in there. It was a lot of substance.
It was a lot of substance in a short video. I've seen him do longer videos about less.
Right.
Now, you know the most interesting thing about... Well, okay, first and foremost, it was definitely his opinion, his perspective. And I feel like a lot of people in the genre of country rap, especially those people who are, let's say, I don't want to call them gatekeepers, some of the original foundation of country rap. I'm sure a lot of those people share the sentiments of Church and feel like that country rap has gotten to a stage where people who might be subpar hip hop artists are putting on a big belt buckle, cowboy hat, some boots, and calling themselves a country rapper.
I cannot disagree with any of that, but that has been a recurring problem with country rap since day one, though. This is probably my biggest issue with Church. Everything he's talked about in the video is not new. This is some shit that happened before you came into the genre, and it's going to happen well after you are done with the genre, like when you're old and gray. Like this isn't going to change until the perception of the genre is elevated. And as long as we are looked at as the minor leagues or the B team, then those people that want to experiment or may have been a little washed up and a little older, and out of that certain quote unquote demographic for core hip hop, they kind of slide over here to country rap, or they weren't good enough in core hip hop. So they're like, I'm gonna try over here and, you know, country rap because that space is a little smaller. There's less competition. Like all of this shit Church hinted at, but it's not, like you said, it's not the sentiment of just him. Pretty much everybody that we've interviewed has said the same shit, that there are people over here that do that are part of that money grab. My point is, I don't think anything's wrong with the money grab. I'm okay with it.
You know what I'm starting to feel? I sometimes feel this way about gospel, hip hop. I just think that it's just hip hop.
It is just hip hop, but it's still subjugated now.
And so I basically feel like if you feel like that you were a subpar hip hop artist, I don't think that makes you not a hip hop artist. I think that means you should just find the people that like what you do and push it to them.
Well, okay, let's play devil's advocate using what you just said. If I know that I'm not the greatest and I don't have the resources to be competing with the other greats, then why would I jump in a pool and try to compete with those folks when I know that there's a whole little sub market over here that I can go over here, use my little money, put a little spotlight on me, and I will get more eyeballs on me.
Just spotlight.
Spotlight. I would get a little bit more eyeballs on me than I would if I was over here. Because in core hip hop, there are hundreds of thousands of artists. Hundreds of thousands.
Do you think there's hundreds of thousands of artists in country rap?
No, there's probably thousands.
You think it's a thousand?
Thousands. I would say a couple thousand. We probably covered at least a couple hundred since we started doing a podcast. Or came across them in our feeds. Like, we know that they're out there. It's just the fact of why try to be, if I know that my architectural skills are not the greatest, but I can go and take my architectural skills to this small town and be the shit versus me taking my skills to Atlanta and having to compete with all these other people, I'm going to take my ass to that small town because I know that the focus is going to be on me.
So you'd rather be the big fish in a little pond?
I would definitely like that. And I think that is probably the sentiment of most of the people that are in country rap. Just that when other people come with other elements from other, specifically from core hip hop, one, they get offended. They like, this ain't country rap. But it is country rap. You know, there's varying versions of country rap. There are actually people that are country that rap. That's one. And then there are actual people that live that country lifestyle, trailer parks, mudding, and all that other shit. That's two. Like, and then there are other sets in there where you got your gospel country rappers and you got your folk slash rock slash country rappers. There's so many different types of country rappers. And again, I'm not getting on Church for what he said. I'm saying that he's saying it from a perspective of the artist, not a artist, but the artist in the genre. His opinion is very valid, but his opinion is coming from an artist perspective, not from an industry perspective. Industry perspective, there's space for everybody over here. And one of the people that he was clowning in the video was Jamie Ray. He's got the song Magic City Cowboy.
And I was wondering, and I'm glad you done the research on that, because I was like, damn, I've heard this song. What song is he playing? That was Jamie Ray?
Yes, that was, and then he clowned it. He's like, this is not country rap, but it is country rap, church. It's just not the traditional country rap. It's just his version of country rap. And it's a more modern version of country rap because it is more hip hop than country. Your music, and this is me delving into church's career. His music is more country than hip hop. He's got hella lyrics. Now, lyrics has always been super and stellar, but he has always infused country in his stuff. This new modern country rap is more hip hop first than country. They might have a smidgen of country elements, like a little banjo playing, maybe a fiddle or whatever, and it'd be a sample. It ain't even somebody really playing it, but that is the new modernized version of it. It isn't any less country than you are. It's just a different version or a different type of it going towards a different demographic. I don't think any of them are wrong. Both of them are is still valid contributions to the genre. We just gotta figure out what that lane is and who it's going to go towards. Both of those listeners still like both of y'all. They can like both of they can like Magic City Cowboy. They can like Cheatham County. They can like everything that church has done. They can like Look at Them Dudes. Like, this is all country rap. Like, there isn't anything different from what it is out there. I think his biggest issue is the authenticity of it. Like, some of it might be label or industry generated. Now, that shit is 100% facts. But now, I'm not mad at that.
I feel like, I don't know if, I feel like he probably feels, sell artists like Jamie Ray, artists like Blake Fades. I feel like he probably feels that those artists are industry generated.
And
I think Church, who's been a person who, at this point in his career, have stayed away from labels. He feels like now the labels see what's going on and they're about to infiltrate.
They are. But that is not a negative for the genre. That might be negative for every artist that's in the genre, because they are about to be overwhelmed by industry dollars that they cannot compete with. Like, very few can compete with. Maybe Church, Adam, a couple more at the top. They probably can. But when and if they push the needle on Blake Fades, when they do it on Jamie Ray, you will know the industry tactics. We've seen them our entire career in hip hop. Like you will see where the blogs start getting on people. You will see a good PR push, or you will see a good radio push. Like you will see certain taxes start to happen. But that is awesome for the genre. Because, and I think they're doing it because if you motherfuckers that are in the genre ain't trying to step outside of the genre and work with the labels are curating shit so they can put inside of the genre. You force their hand. Like if you are not going to play nice with them, then they're like, okay, if I can't play with you, then I'll just add me up. I'll make a player and put it in front of you. I'm not mad at that, Vic.
No, I'm not mad at it because, you know, I'm an equal opportunist. I feel like everyone with talent deserves an opportunity to change his family's life and pursue his dream.
Agreed.
Whether it's independent, totally whether it's major label, if you feel like you have talent, if you feel like you have enough skill set to surround yourself with people to market your music to people who's going to appreciate it, I don't feel like anyone has a right to call you unauthentic.
Right.
But I understand Church being the catalyst of the genre right now. I can understand what he's saying. And I'm not saying, I don't think Church is saying, you know, F y'all, or we don't want y'all. I just think that Church is still, like we are, looking for that perfect definition of country rap. Because Church, to me, is kind of a blurred line between country rap and Southern rappers. Because some of the people that Church would put in his dialogue would be Boosie. He loves Boosie.
Yes.
He loves Kevin Gates.
Yes. Now,
the average country rap artists are not going to call those two guys country rap.
Absolutely not.
But they are rappers from the country.
Yes. And that's that's that secular definition of what country rap is. But there's not country. Okay. Country rap is defined by the audience. And it is not just because you're in the South. That is not what it is. Like, and we can call, I'm not even going to call a spade at this point. We're talking about just what the country rap money grab is. And we might need to define what a money grab is, because it might be some people out there that don't know what that means.
Well, money grab is basically seeing an opportunity, as my dad says, shooting the gap. I see an opportunity to make some money, and it might not be in an area that I'm good or have an expertise at, but I'm going to go over here, wallow around until something happens. Or in the industry, I'm gonna throw it up against the wall until something sticks.
That's very accurate. You're an opportunist. Now I don't think they should be faulted for being an opportunist, especially when major labels are the funding agents behind these people, because this adds more spotlight on everybody else that is here. Like when Young Thug shouting out Jamie Ray and putting him on his Instagram and, you know, bringing all his eyeballs on him makes us look good. It makes us like, okay, what is country rap? There's some folks out there like, country rap's a thing?
Yeah.
That's real? Like, and then when they hear some of the stuff, let somebody hear Broadnax for the first time. You will not be let down by the shit that comes out of his mouth when you say, this is the definition of what country rap is. Or play Cornfield on Fire for somebody that doesn't know what country rap is, and let them listen to that masterpiece of a project. That is a perfect example of what country rap is. It got the rhymes, it got the country elements. You got Demon Jones, who is a staple of country rap. Like this is, I don't think this is a negative. And I see where, I understand Church's plight, but I don't see it as a bad thing.
I don't think he was calling it a negative. I think he was just trying to put some separation between what's real and what's fake.
It's all real though, but it's all real, but it's all fake.
But you know what's funny? It's no different than what goes on in hip hop, where exactly. Like in our era, you might have someone like KRS or Nas who's saying Soulja Boy is not real hip hop.
Oh my God, that would be trash. That's a lie.
But that has been an argument within itself. Soulja Boy and Nas. I don't know if you remember back when Soulja Boy dissed Nas.
Why would Soulja Boy diss Nas?
Because Nas said it wasn't real hip hop. Or when Ice T went after Soulja Boy, at one point in time, when Soulja Boy was running the game, a lot of core hip hop artists were basically being negative.
It's usually New York niggas that talking that shit because they get mad when anybody outside of New York is getting any type of spotlight. They like, man, what? This ain't real hip hop. It's not real hip hop according to what you grew up to. If that doesn't, you can't just. This is the same argument that I have with people that discredit Booty Shake. Like, everything that Luke Skywalker contributed to the landscape of music, that's hip hop.
Who?
Luke Skywalker, Uncle Luke.
Okay, I
and everything that he did for us, that is all hip hop. You can't say that ain't hip hop. That ain't a valid contribution to the genre just because it wasn't quote unquote the standard of hip hop. And most of those are new, up north folks that be having the same argument, or people that's out west because it ain't that flavor. There are varying types. There's Midwest hip hop. That chop and screw shit, I don't get down with it. But it's still that level of hip hop for that part of the country. The shit in Memphis that had a whole movement. Louisiana had their own movement. Georgia had theirs. And we just happened to come in and put our foot on everybody else and was like, okay. You know, and our shit actually started with Sade and some other ones early. And it was all booty shaking bass.
And you know what's funny? When you mentioned Sade, because hip hop was... New York was the birthplace of hip hop. For years, Sade lied and told everybody Afrika Bambaataa was his uncle or something.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because it gave him validation. It made it seem like that, you know, because he was from New York, so it gave him validation, and no one was going to fact check that. It wasn't no internet.
That's true. But it's sad that he had to lie just so he can get that stamp. But those stamps are still current in hip hop today. We got to get cosigns now but with features and shit from other folks.
So will country rap go through the same thing?
I'm saying
like in the early years of hip-hop when you had East Coast artists basically saying, matter of fact, Mace just came out a few weeks ago and said that 90s East Coast hip-hop was better than 90s Dirty South hip-hop because the Dirty South artists weren't saying anything. So will 90s. You have that same division in country rap?
I think you will, because now that we are starting to, well, you probably will. I can't say that. You probably won't, because you have somebody that is very high in standard leading the way, and that's Church. If it was anybody else that was the lead, hell, and I'll use Adam Calhoun as, if Adam was the lead, then we would probably have issues, because Adam, even though he's considered country rap by the genre, Adam doesn't do traditional country rap music. So his flavor, we got division, like I said, we got divisions already in the genre, but his flavor of country rap is vastly different from what Church does. Church has, again, that has that heavy influence of country. Adam has a very heavy influence of 2090s hip hop.
Yes.
Vastly different. Like if you listen to the type of music that this person has influences in, and the musical elements that are added to his music, they're not the same foundation, but they probably had people that they listened to that was on the charts at the same time in country and in hip hop that helped mold their careers and it helped build them to who they are today. I think if you look forward 5 years from now, Church will be one of those people that people will be using as influence. Adam will be one of those people. Savannah will be one of those people. I'm thinking of all the other people that are influential in the industry. Struggle will be one of those people. Definitely Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll's already that now based on longevity, but the more he does a little bit of both, and he's one of those folks that's going to write the script and pave the way for the next generation. There is no perfect country rap. There's no real definition to it, because it is defined by the listener. Now, yeah, you can have country elements, but we're all in the South. If it's anywhere below, Virginia on down, the shit's South. It's Southern. You country.
Yeah, but a lot of country rap artists aren't from the South. Like, you might have the Lax. I think the Lax reside in the West Coast. Not the Lax, it's the Moonshine Bandits. I'm sorry, the Moonshine Bandits.
I can't give it to whether... I can't. Again, it's not about the residential area code. It's about the feel and the vibe and the music. I understand Church's argument, and even the other people that he played in here. He played T.I. I think he might have talked about 3-6 and some other people when he was going through his rant. Like all of those are Southern folks. All of those are country rappers, if by definition, quote unquote. But they ain't on no country rap chart. Cause ain't one doesn't exist. But they would never be on a country rap chart if it did exist, because they aren't country rap. They are rap. Core rap fans embrace them. Core rap fans don't believe in country rap. It is hard for you to even like give somebody, say, hey, have you heard that new Adam Calhoun? And they're gonna be like, who's that? That's the dude that's running for president? That's the dude that had all the Trump signs in his yard? Like, yeah, that dude. You heard his new record? No, I don't listen to that. Like, but why not? You know, because the condensation that you get from that is that country rap isn't valid. We have no valid contributions.
Okay, you know, now
we're not up to a certain level.
All right, now with that being said, that was just a warm up because we got a guest. We got a very, very special guest that I'm fin to let in right now. Okay. And you know, the first thing I want to ask him, I'm going to ask him, do he feel like there's a country rap money grab?
Run it.
Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. All right, we have a very, very special guest, CEO of Mako Music, legendary MC, and if we can get him to flip that guy over the other way. But I definitely, Mr. Bravo Gator is in the building. Bravo Gator, can I get you to, bam, there it is. All right, first and foremost,
you see me?
We see you.
Okay.
First and foremost, I want to say welcome to the show. And before you came on, we was talking about last week, Church made a video called the Country Rap Money Grab.
Okay.
And I wanted to start this interview off by asking you, do you feel like there is such thing as a country rap money grab?
Yeah. I mean, it's something that's country rap is something that's working. So a lot of people, if it's working, they try to force themselves into a genre. You know, that's all it is. It's just they see it, but it's not going to... The thing about it is people that do that will have one single that works, get a little bit of attention, but there'll never be any longevity in it, though. So it's not really a money grab. It's a moment grab.
Okay. I kind of felt like we're going to throw enough up against the wall till something sticks.
Correct. And the thing about it is it'll stick, but it'll fall right back down.
Yeah.
It's not a dart. It's a noodle.
But is that a bad thing for the genre, though?
I don't think it's a good or a bad thing. I think it's a disrespectful thing.
Okay.
Right, to the genre, to the people. But I don't think it's good or bad, because even if it blows up, people will view it as like, oh my God, this is what they're doing. It's like a parody. So they're going to view everybody as a parody. That's bad. But even if it brings eyes on the genre, they'll find the genuine music out of it too.
Right.
And if it doesn't work, no harm, no foul.
Okay. All right. Now, I'm going to rewind it, because I just wanted to end that conversation that we were having before we brought you on. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everybody who has ever watched the Country Rap Report, we have a prestigious guy in the building, a guy who I've repeatedly said is top five rapping CEO in hip hop history.
I think he's talking about Spike.
No, top five. And when I say top five rapping CEOs, I'm talking about people who are spinning bars but making deals that are really worthwhile, not just signing their cousin,
right?
They partner. Right. Now, I said that you're top five. I put you, I put 50 Cent up there, I put M up there, I said Dre, even though he's never wrote a lyric. And then it started to get blurry because I couldn't put Ice Cube in there because Ice Cube never had an artist to sell like him. I couldn't put Ludacris in there because Ludacris has never, they've had artists, but they haven't made the dent in the game that I feel like you have in a short amount of time. So you are in my top five rapping CEOs in hip hop history.
Well, thank you. I'm over now. I'm racking my brain on who all was the CEO that rap.
That rap good.
Right. and signed quality talent.
And like, yeah, like you can say Baby Cash Money, but Baby didn't trash rap good.
Baby trash rapping.
I'll say this. Even I don't know the true story, but I'm guessing a lot of people that are like CEOs or that are running companies, are they actually the ones that are going out there signing the talent? Like, I don't see, if you say Dre found him, didn't he? That was him.
Yeah.
I think.
Well, I put Dre in there. I gave it to Dre.
Yeah, Dre for sure.
I gave
it to Dre. But Dre, but even 50 and Eminem, I think I'm like top 70. So I'm not even taking the top five thing. I appreciate it. But even Dre would be the top dog because Dre was a CEO. Dre was Aftermath. And then Shady was under Aftermath. And then G-Unit was under Shady.
I put those three in there.
Yeah.
Dre's got to win it for sure. But
I can't put Ludacris in there because who did Ludacris make a star?
T.I. had Grand Hustle, right?
Who did T.I. make a star? You know what? We put T.I. in there. We put T.I. in there because we said Dro. We said B.O.B.
We said B.O.B., yeah. When B.O.B. was the one that sold it for T.I.
But that was four. Yeah. That was four.
That's it?
That was four.
Iggy.
So that was T.I.
And number five would be Bravo Gator.
Bravo Gator would be number five. In my opinion.
Trick Daddy had Trina.
No, come on. No, that ain't even... Good try.
All right, ladies and
gentlemen. Baby had Cash Money.
Yeah, but Baby can't out-rap you, and you know that.
Yeah. But we did put... I think we put Wayne in it, right? Just Wayne. Yeah, for Drake and Nicki.
Yeah. And the fact that he's had some incredible people over there. He had Gilly. He's had Corey Guns.
Kevin Rudolph, which was a rapper they didn't know what to do with, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So for everybody who don't know by now, we have Mr. Bravo Gator, CEO of Mako Music Group in the building. Welcome, sir.
Thank you. Well, thank you for having me.
Okay, so look, man, let's get right into it. The first thing I want to ask, that I got to ask, because I want to know the origin of Mako Music. But I want to know, what is the deal with the shark?
As far as what?
Like the logo? I'm sorry, but when I think Mako, I was thinking about those $100 paint jobs on cars.
You better get Mako.
Better call Mako.
You're thinking of the jingle.
I never knew what Mako meant.
It's we've tried to come up with different meanings for it. The honest answer on how the name came about, bro, is we were sitting there talking and we're going, well, it's not the name, it's what you make the name, right? That whole argument. And we're sitting there looking around, and there was a boat, and it happened to be a Mako boat. That was the brand of the boat. We're going to fucking Mako. That's literally how it came about. And then over the course of time, we're like, well, what does Mako stand for? Mako Artists Keep Ownership. Or Mako, I mean, there's a lot of different things, but that's literally where it came about, was off the side of the fucking boat. And just to prove that it's not the name, it's the work you put behind the name that makes a difference, I guess.
And that's where the shark came from, the boat, the shark?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Spank, you want to jump in? Because
I got to come up with a better story than that one. That one's like really not intriguing at all, but that's the truth.
Hey, some of the best stories are ones that only make sense to the person that created it.
I want to know, how in the hell did you get the legendary Blind Fury? How,
bro? A blessing. And the music that dude's doing is fucking ape shit, dude. Like, it's literally, it's not rap at all.
Really?
No, at all, at all. It's literally a country album, and dude's think Elton John, but country. I could say Stevie Wonder, but think like, dude is probably the most talented like actual musician I've ever met in my life. Like, he can really sing. It's like, it's like, you know, you've been in a room with somebody that's like a true talent.
Right.
Like, they didn't like practice it. They're just like truly talented. That's what that dude is. So it's like watching him. Everybody's sitting there amazed at what that dude does. But it's a country album.
Oh, wow.
It's literally a country album. But I heard him do a cover. Spank, you've been around. You know how my mind works. I see something, whatever.
Right.
But I saw a video of him doing a cover playing a piano. And I was like, that's it. That's it. And then reached out to him. He came down there and we signed him immediately and then started working. I think we're two songs away now from being done with the album. already got video shot and everything.
This is going to be all country, or are we going to do a dibble and dabble of country and hip hop, or what's the?
I'm sure he'll do a little rap here and there, but I doubt it'll be much rap at all. Oh, like, he's really good. I wish I could play stuff on my phone, but he's really good, like really good. When you hear it, you're going to go, there's no way that's that dude. There's absolutely no chance that's him. And he can full-blown play the piano.
I didn't know that. I didn't know
he played the piano. He studies, like, music theory, so he knows notes, what they're supposed to be, what harmonies go with what harmonies. I mean, it's literally crazy. Like, if you're in a studio, it's like, bro, it's the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Is this his version of, like, rebranding his career, or he just going to reset and go a different direction and just... Is it a different persona?
I don't think he was really planning on going this direction.
Oh, wow.
I don't think. I know he was doing it here and there, and even on, like, his lives, he'll play the piano, but when I saw it, that's immediately what my mind went to was, this is a lane. It'll be bigger than his rap stuff. Like, it's different, man. I wish this chair would stop fucking doing all this.
You know, there's going to be a whole lot of eyeballs on you after you put out anything on Blind Fury. Like, it's the eyeballs that were on you before, it's going to be magnified times 10, because everybody wants to see what's going to happen or what's going to come from that. And if you're trying to tell me that he's going to sing, holy shit, like, they're going to be like, what's going on? What are they doing down there in Florida?
Bro, it's really good.
Wow.
Like, really, really good. Like, Good Morning America good.
Oh, shit.
I mean, it's a whole different animal.
All right, so look, I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse. I want to reel it back, and I want to talk about the birth of Mako Music, why you started Mako Music, and I want you to bring us up to Blind Fury, up to Bees Believe, up to Jay Roosevelt, up to all these moves you've been making. But there are people who are seeing these moves but don't even know where this thing started from, and I want all that to come out tonight.
I did music for a lot of years by myself, like, independently, right? So I found every single way for it not to work for an artist.
What do you mean?
Like, I got, 12, 14 albums? I don't know how many albums I have now that I put out, you know, over the course of my career, 15, 20 years worth of work, right? You know how many of those albums I own?
How many?
None. None of them.
Where are they at? Where are they at?
Sold. Because I'll get to that. Well, I'll get to it now. In my head, I was going through a company. I don't want to blast them because I'm about to blast them differently. But in my head, it was, how do I explain it? I didn't understand what streaming was. I knew the old school record sale life. So when these albums started streaming and we're sending it to a distributor from the stream of the albums, I'm like, well, I was told you get paid annually. And that's what their deal was, is you get paid annually. So I'm a starving artist, bro. Like, that's why I respect this business so much, because I've been in the trenches with it. Like, evicted. I mean, like, broke. But basically, I'd have all my albums over there. I'd call and go, hey, where's the payment at? Oh, we don't have a payment for you, man. We're still getting accounting ready. But when you're getting literally evicted again, they're going, hey, man, I'll tell you what, I'll give you $20,000 right now. You give me 25% of your masters. Well, you could have gave me $2,300 at that time, and I would have gave you 99. I mean, it was that bad. You had to have it. So, okay, here's 25% of my masters. At least I'm okay. But then guess what happens the following year?
Eviction.
Same thing. Now it's 40,000 for 50%. And over the course of time, I sold all my masters. But what I didn't understand was, all they were doing is that even if my albums were making $2,000 a month, they were buying my masters with my own money.
Right.
I didn't know that. That's not okay. It's not cool. So that literally put it took the wind out of me. Everything you ever worked for in your life is literally taken away by a scumbag ass motherfucker. That's some scumbag shit. I literally left music in 2015 and I was like, I don't know. I mean, but your pride stripped from you. Like, what are you going to do? You did all this work for this many years, and you have nothing to show for it. And you're still broke.
That was going to be my question. Was there ever times that you wanted to say, fuck it, I'm out?
Yeah, 2015, I was out. Not because I didn't like the music. One, because I didn't have the finances to continue doing music. Right? Two, I felt like everything I had was stripped from me. I had nothing left. What am I going to do, record another album and start over? You know? But more than anything, I knew I wasn't done. I knew I had to get smarter. I knew I was immature when it came to doing music. I knew I wasn't disciplined when I came to doing music. And I knew I understood the street way of doing music, but I did not have the discipline to run a corporation or run a company. I didn't. I was too ADD this way, too whatever that way. I was not disciplined. I was not mature enough to be able to run a business. So what I did is I literally went and got a job. I had to learn structure in business. I had to humble myself to the point where it's like, I always thought the opportunity would come knock on my door one day. And here's a record deal I've been working up for forever. Why? Because everybody you ask who does music is always, don't give up, don't give up, don't give up. So I'm thinking, well, I haven't gave up. So that should be the reward that I'm chasing. But at the door, nobody ever came. To the point I had nothing. And I literally said, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I got a 5-year plan this time. I'm going to go get a job. I'm going to figure out business, true business, right? And I'll come back in 2020. And that's what I did. I mean, all the way from working corporate jobs to Bubba hauling trees.
All right. What job gave you the most structure?
I'd say the corporate job. I was working for a roofing company, but I was working more the back end of it. So I wasn't doing roofing. It was more the back end of it, dealing with sales guys and stuff like that. That taught me structure, I'd say, the most, because corporate, everything's under a magnifying glass, right? And then when you're dealing with sales guys, you're dealing with a lot of bullshit. Sales guys lie. So to be able to contain everybody, make sure everybody's where they need to be at certain times, and understand, it just all that taught me the most. The tree stuff humbled me, you know, because I remember picking up big ass logs of wood going, motherfucker, one more year. And that was just stacking the bread on top of the bread that I had saved. I'm like, one more year. Here we go. Here we go. In 2020, I was like, that's going to be it. And I literally, that's probably the happiest I've been for myself, because I actually had a 5-year goal and did it. So I came back in 2020 and I'm going, now what do I do? I'm back. Nobody really cares. And, you know, because you can say, hey, I'm back. And all of a sudden you get 427 likes on Facebook. And you're like, but the next thing you post is going to get 81. Here's the fucking battle again. So I'm going, what can I do different this time to make it different? I quickly understood I don't want to be the one doing it. I'm better developing the artist, right? So I always make this analogy. If you're in a dark room, there's a candle. And if you light the candle lights the whole room, right? But the candle base itself doesn't light itself. I'm like a candle. I can shine light on everybody else. But I don't know what it takes to shine light on myself. Obviously, it never fucking works. That's the truth. Not saying I did bad music or I couldn't rap. I didn't have the team that I needed to make me successful. So in turn, let me build the team that other people need to make them successful. That was the goal, right? I didn't know what artist was going to be first, who was going to be second, what was going to happen. I knew I had to put a couple albums out to be able to use my core fan base as a foundation to spread this thing, right? Just, you know, a start. I got lucky. Sav was there. Met Sav, put her straight in the studio, and here we go. Sav shit, bam. Because it's the old school hip hop marketing.
Right.
Y'all talk about it. It's old school shit. All the plays that we ran in 2005 ain't been ran here.
True.
You know? But it's just knowing what it is. And people get caught up in, it's the entertainment business. It's entertainment and business. Mm-hmm. Even marketing, you've got to keep the people intrigued, keep them going. Luckily, Savannah had talent, could sing, had something that we hadn't seen before, and it shot off. Immediately when that shot off, it wasn't, we weren't popping champagne. We were going to get FJ. FJ, let's go. Load it up, load it up. Because that's where you build a label. If you do it one time, it's lucky. You do it twice, you're a genius. Get FJ running. FJ, get it. Go, go, go. Get the studio. Get all this. Build a team around it, right? So Mako's not me. Mako's the team of people that make Mako Mako. I might be the face of it because whatever, but there's a team of people that's doing everything. It's like you've seen it. It's not just one person. It's
right.
People believing in the same thing and getting it done. Then the FJ thing happened. Then it was with Target. Let's go sign Target. Let's get Target on board. Best Believe, Blind Fury. And then now we just signed the Trap House Coda Kid. It's, and then Jay Roosevelt. I know I'm going to end up leaving somebody out, but that's just the fucking, just how it goes in your interviews. But it was always about expanding. It's about expanding. It's about working the right deals and getting them done and giving the artist what I never had. I think that's the most important thing to me. It's not the money. The money doesn't do shit to me. We do deals that don't have recoups in them.
What?
Somebody show me another record deal that doesn't have a recoup in it.
Yeah, he's got Vic was like, what? I've never talked about your business dealings on that side, but he's got a very unique business model. No one's doing it in the industry.
No recoup?
Mm-mm. Bro, it's bigger than that. It's bigger than a no recoup.
No, I'm explaining right now, a Mako deal, because I want people to know, because hopefully other labels, because I'll get people that ask, and they're like, man, don't you see, like, Dirt Rock's trying to do what Mako's doing, and Holler Boy's trying to do what Mako's doing, blah, blah. Good. I hope everybody fucking wins. I don't get upset that people trying to make it happen. I hope everybody fucking wins. It gets all the way to the top. I don't think they're mimicking or gimmicking. I just think it's motivational the same way it would be for me. Let's all fucking get these teams running. Let's build teams. So I get happy when I hear that shit. It's not a competition within ourselves. I hope everybody fucking wins. But the Mako deal structure, it's a little bit different. I don't do recoups. I don't recoup the money. So,
time.
Is that a timeout or a technical foul?
No, it's a it definitely is not a technical foul. First and foremost, and there are artists who are looking at this who are not even knowledgeable, who don't even know what the word recoup means. But basically, you're saying that you're doing deals with artists, and if you send them on promo tour, if you got posters and t-shirts and all this shit done for them, you 20,000 in before they make one penny, and you're not going to get that 20 grand back?
No, because it eliminates the bullshit, right? I try to make Mako, if I was an artist, what deal would I want? Like, what would have been the perfect deal for me? And I realized it boiled down to simple math. People sign people because they want to gain from them, not because they believe in them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I'm signing people because I truly believe in them, that means we got a journey on our hands, right?
Right.
One, don't start a company unless you got the money right to run the company. You know, when you're doing, if I'm doing a deal, so say with a normal label deal, you're going, this percentage goes to, or say 10% goes to the artist, just for easy numbers. 10% goes to the artist, right? And it's never percentages in record deals. It's always points.
Right.
And points are a percentage of a percentage.
Of a point, of a pie, yeah.
Right? So it's more fuckery than anything.
Absolutely.
I think me and you had 50 conversations about this, right?
Yes.
But it's a fuckery. So one, a Mako deal is a percentage, not a point deal, right? The biggest deals that are floating around, not knocking anybody. It's just I'm saying that the most used record deal, I'd say independently, is a 50-50 net. Right? Mm-hmm. I just wanted to be a little bit different, not knocking people to do 50-50 net. Everybody's got their own business. I looked at it as if you get artist A and you launch them, say I put $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 behind that artist. Say it's like a Savannah, right? Savannah, in month three of putting music out, was getting paid. Life-changing money out the gate. If it would have been a traditional deal, if she would have made $50,000 in those 3 months and I put 50 in her, she would have still owed me, what's the math, man? Because it's a 10% deal. She made 50 grand. She would have paid $5,000 of that money back.
Right.
Because the 10% goes out of her money.
Mm-hmm.
Not out of all the money that's made. That's the biggest misconception is people think, hey, if it makes 50 grand, then we're flush. The fuck you are. You're not. Unless it's a different deal and a structure different, but a major label, that's how it works. Your recoup comes out of your percentage. But a Mako deal, if I got 50 in you, we're splitting money off $1. Why? Because I believe in what you're doing. I'm not recouping my money in the normal sense of recouping the money. we're going to do, say, a 3-year deal. And I guarantee you, if I do everything that I'm promising you that I'll do, if I back up my shit, then the 3 years, we're both going to be in the ground. But I don't want to ever see the face of an artist or see the hurt from an artist where their music's just fucking booming. Say Savannah, booming, booming. And they get no money. How do you expect an artist to give you more, like to give you their all, when at the height of their career, when they're launching off and feeling the best about themselves as an artist, they're broke? That doesn't go together. Pay the artist out the gate.
Did you create this business regimen
Yeah.
from some of the things you experienced as an artist?
Yeah. It's everything I wouldn't want done to me. It's everything that I wanted. I remember seeing that. I remember having to pay back $10,000. That sucked. You know, I don't do advances. I don't do none of that shit. You will get paid. And you can fast forward. I'm putting her business out there. But, I mean, FJ's the same thing, bro. Savannah drives a fucking 2021 AMG. When I first met her, she was being evicted out of a house. Good for her. FJ's got a fucking S550, bro. You know, FJ will wreck that S550 into anything he can wreck it into because he's mentally not there. But, you know, he's got his own place. Everybody, the greatest feeling for me, bro, is not the money. It's literally being able to look at people and go, hey, I can change your life, and then actually doing it. Because, Bubba, I bought so many fucking broken promises when I was an artist that it was the most hurtful shit. And with music, y'all been in it. With music, it's not that somebody just lies to you and lets you down. It's they don't do that. They first lie to you and take you to your highest point of hope and then drop you the fuck down.
Right.
That hurts the worst. So I've failed so many fucking times. It's unreal. I don't want to see them go through it.
Man, go ahead, Spike.
Have you started seeing like the way that you're treating the artists? Has that started rubbing off on them, and they treating other artists different too? Like, because this whole sentiment and different type of mentality, it's not normal for the industry for sure. So, I mean, as your people, as you rub off on them and they rub off on others, I think that will help to change the culture for sure. Not just
it does. And Bubba, you've been down here. It's like, I gotta pretend I don't know you, right. But you've seen it. It's a team environment. So if you look at Savannah was successful. What was FJ's first single? Who did it have on it? We were out there building the fucking set. It was FJ and Savannah.
Right.
Right. And then Target comes on. Target does a song with FJ and Savannah. Right. And now when you see Fury, you're going to see the same thing. These artists, like, even when Fury's at the studio, but everybody's there. The artists are all there supporting the artists. They want to, everybody needs to win. It's not that fucked off ass label mentality that we're all used to. It's actually good. Everything's in-house. Everybody's happy. But the main thing is just, I don't want them to ever feel the shit that I felt. The sense of failure and fuckery that I felt, bro, I never want them to ever feel that shit.
I think your business regimen is more family regimen than business regimen, because you're really creating something that's unique in this industry that's bigger than country rap. Because if more people, no matter what type of music they're making, if more people cared about the artists and really changing lives, and then those people had that mindset, imagine what this industry could be, and we could eliminate some of these horror stories.
For sure. I mean, Spank, Bubba, you've seen the major label shit that was there, and you know why I didn't want to take that fucking deal.
Yeah.
It's because it wasn't good for the people around me. It was good for me. It wasn't good for the people around me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, bro, we could have all died yesterday, bro. You don't know. Your time is limited. You could strike a $50 million deal and die the next day, bro. It's what you leave behind that does it. I look at it as I want the people that are in this company, I push them to have side companies on top of their own companies, right?
Woo!
Because God forbid, say, FJ loses his voice and can't rap no more. Is his family good for the rest of his life? If that question is, if that answer is no, then I haven't done my job. Right. So they need they got to understand different businesses and safety nets inside of their crafts, you know? I literally just want to see everybody succeed other than the people I don't like, which I want them to burn and fucking shit.
I mean, is this, how is this on you though? This sounds like a big burden, bro. Like, are you, That's a lot to take on. How are you handling all of that?
Well, I'm at the studio by 9
a.m.
Sometimes 8, sometimes 10, but say on average at 9 o'clock, and I probably lay my head down at 3:30 every day.
7 days a week?
But I haven't had a day off in 18 months.
Damn.
You know, but it's part of it.
Yeah. All
right. I got to ask this because a few months ago, we seen a teaser of Mako and Average Joe. And then I seen a couple of interviews. What's the situation with Mako and Average Joe?
Me and Shannon are very cool. Shannon owns Average Joe. We're very cool. Mako is still Mako. Average Joe's is still Average Joe's. But it's just showing that two companies can work together that are open to working together. Like, my infrastructure is open for him. His infrastructure is open for me. If I need something, you know, vice versa, he can send artists down. We'll work with them instead. But it's two separate businesses. People are like, it's a merger. It's not a merger like that. It's a merger on a, let's put our egos aside type of merger. We're all willing to work together. Let's not compete with each other. Let's how do we expand this genre out? And even when I did it, like, it was an invitation to all other companies, labels, whatever. Let's all figure out how to work together, you know? But the problem with being Mr. Nice Guy on that is everybody's got a company now. Now everybody that's ever been anybody has got a record label, and now they want to work together. And you got to be careful on who you work with too, because a lot of people suck, bro. They don't know what they're doing.
Right.
I sucked 5 years ago. There's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, perfect your craft and come back. But that's what the Average Joe thing is. Mako is still Mako. Average Joe's is still Average Joe's. This group, like, we did the I-1 thing just to show a unity. You know, okay. A unity in the two. And Shannon's a great guy. Shannon's built a fucking phenomenal company. Me and Shannon talk almost every single day. You know? But it's not a merger like that, if that explains it.
So is I-1 some sort of tutelage or to help the other folks that are out there to get their business together or put together music projects like the coast along the way?
I've never heard the word tutelage in my life.
are you trying to help them through I-1? Is that the goal?
Not really. I think eventually there might be an artist that fits an I-1 brand, and me and Shannon might go, hey, man, let's do this one together.
Okay.
You know, and we'll do that one together. We talked about it, and, you know, there's certain ideas that we got there, but it's just Shannon can come down here, and he does whenever he wants to, and I go up there. It's literally just saying, I'm here for you, you're here for me, whatever we need to do, let's work.
Has the other people in the industry seen that as a threat?
I don't think they pay attention to shit they should be paying attention to, so they probably don't even know. They don't research what they're supposed to. Like, when you're doing this, you have to know everything that's going on. Like, fuck pretending to be too big to not know, oh, I didn't see that shit. You did. And you seen this person talk shit and this person talk good. You've seen it. It's your job. You're supposed to study every moving element around you. If you don't, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So right. I think a lot of people have just been like, oh, they don't know about it or something at all. But that's not, pretending you're dumb is not a smart move.
Gotcha.
All right, now, I know you heard the saying, heavy is the head, the weight is the crown. So with certain levels of success comes certain levels of negativity. There's going to always be people having narratives and feeling one way or feeling one way about the success of someone else. And I also seen you make a post that says, great minds don't think alike.
They don't.
From where I stand, you're the head with the crown right now. How are you handling the different elements that are coming at you different ways?
I wouldn't say I got the crown. I mean, like, fucking Jelly's over here fucking killing it. Strug, I can name 50 people that are killing it. Terps is doing good. Strug's doing good. There's a lot of people that are doing great. I wouldn't say it's wearing the crown. I would say I'm starting to be the closest one to realize how the label side of it works.
That's what I mean when I say that. At this point, yes, Jelly is doing his thing. Everyone you mentioned is doing their thing. But you
are and none of them other ones signing the level right. of talent that he is, though.
You are creating a business model that if in 5 years your business model will be able to be studied in the genre to change lives. And with that comes a burden of being the head that's wearing the crown. from the business side of things. Like, in my opinion, you are changing the culture of the genre from business.
And he's changing the culture of music. Yeah. Fuck the genre. Like, this shit isn't being done in anywhere, any other genre. And I've studied other genres. Like, this is not even close. This is the type of shit that when it is getting done, you end up missing because they don't want you to change the business structure because the people at top want to continue to rate the artist. So, but I mean, what he's doing is revolutionary. You gotta applaud that. Like, and I know that that is heavy on you. I just hope that you're not like letting all of that fester in. Just do whatever you do to release it. If you got to diss somebody, jump on a record or two or five. Like, just don't let it get to you.
No, it doesn't. But because, bro, it's not even heavy on me like that, man. Because you're seeing people around you happy. Like, that's rewarding, and you get to see it every day, right?
Right.
Like, bro, I got problems keeping attorneys because every time I hire one, they're going, they're saying how you do it. Why don't you shut
right.
the fuck up?
Exactly.
That's what we're gonna do, you know? To the point, our contracts, the very first one we got was like that thick, and now it's like 4 pages. You've seen it. It's just like,
damn.
Here.
Wow.
Fuck it. You know, but it's just like, I don't understand. It's so easy to do the right thing. But I've done the wrong thing a lot of my life when it comes to music, because I was in a desperate situation. I had to do shit that I didn't want to do because I fucking had to survive. A lot of these artists that do things that they're not supposed to do, but they're just trying to survive. It's a desperation thing, right?
Right.
But now being able to do the right thing and shit, Bubba, it's a great feeling. Like, back when I was doing music, bro, this sounds so bad, but we were selling merch. I'm like, fuck it, I sold $1,200 of merch. I didn't have the discipline. I was too ADD to even go, okay, now I got to take the shirt and print out a thing on this website to ship it. I'm done. I wish I had somebody that would have helped me. So it makes me look horrible because I'm like, I don't know. I don't feel like fucking sending it. No. But that's how it was. But now it's like, now you got a team in place that does merch. Like, Sab does great on her merch. Like, she took over the merch side of things. It's helping all the artists with merch and all. I'm not the guy for merch. What I am is the vision.
Gotcha.
You know, but
are you A&R? Do you A&R all the projects?
Yeah.
Hold on, let me rewind you on the merch, because this is something that Spank wants, and I do not want this moment to go past.
I was going to say, it's A&R. George does a lot of A&R now, right? But am I involved in every project? Yes.
That's dope.
I want to go back to merch. Spank wants a...
Don't buy a shirt for me.
Spank wants a Hard Target dick shirt.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do.
Oh, yeah. I had to process that real quick. That's different.
He should have put that on the website. That he could sell a lot of merch with that.
Hard Target dick.
That was a cool idea.
Right. Hard Target dick.
I won't wear that.
I would wear it. I would wear it every episode of Country Rap Report.
No, I would.
Oh. I don't have one. I'll send it to you.
Only send one. I have, when it comes to A&R, because you have assembled, like, I sent you something because I want to see Mako redo the symphony, because I just watched the KRS-One and the Big Daddy Kane verses, and I was just nostalgic. And I was like, man, it would be dope if Mako took the same beat and done their own version of the symphony.
I didn't listen to it. I gotta listen. I've never heard it.
You have never heard the symphony. Bravo Gator, you just upset. Oh my God. Oh my God. I mean,
you've been around longer, Bubba.
Don't be calling me an old man like this. Totally offensive country comedy guy.
Hey, remember the picture of you ever seen the picture of the Last Supper?
Yes.
Vic's back there like this.
The boombox. But look, how have you been able to assemble so much talent? Like, before you came on, me and Spank was having a conversation like, I don't know, I think that's the best person on Mako, or that's the best. Like, how have you been able to, bro, you just every time we're always saying it's Mako for the win. It's like you haven't took an L. How have you been able to put all this talent in one room and they still keep churning out good music?
I think like when I was giving that candle analogy earlier, I think my light is to be able to see, is I'm able to see talent that people don't see. So 1% of the world might look at somebody and go, that dude's talented. You know, but a lot of times, even FJ, Savannah was singing way before I ever met her. Why didn't they notice that as talent? They didn't want to. They wanted the easy thing handed to them. Nobody wanted to build nothing. FJ. FJ put out a lot of albums before I ever got a hold of him. He was still a phenomenal artist. But what you realize is these people are talented, but everybody, including me when I was doing music, they're missing some element. That's why it's not working. When I'm able to see, when I was signing artists, I want to be able to see the talent to like the person more than anything. Why do I want to be in a 3 or 4 year deal with you if I don't like you? I won't be able to make it 3 or 4 hours. But it's to be able to like you as a person, to be able to respect your talent, and to be able to understand what that element that you're missing is. So an artist can be extremely talented, right? And me not be able to figure out what that element missing is, and I won't sign the person. You know, but with these artists, I'm able to figure it out. Like with FJ, I've told him this all the time. It sounds shitty, but it's my opinion on it. He had a great voice. He could write. He could do all these things. He couldn't consistently make great songs. He could do a good verse, say the right thing here, a good hook there. But as a whole, the two things that was missing with FJ was consistency and put these songs together. You're writing the verse here and the hook there on this one. Put those together. It was just literally like a chemist putting it together. And then now you get the new FJ. You're going, oh, wow. It's being able to do that. Now people look at it as like, man, they were sleeping on FJ the whole time. They were. Hard Target's always been a fucking phenomenal artist. It's adding the consistency on Hard Target stuff. Even being an ear, like, hey, listen to the song. What do you think? Here's my feedback on it. Here's my feedback on this. Or Blind Fury, you're a phenomenal rapper. The smart thing for a business or a label to do was to sign that dude as a battle rapper. I see it differently, though. I see this little bitty fucking clip of you playing a piano and singing, and that's it. I see it. Got it. Now when we put him out, they're going to go, they hit the gold again. It's not bad. It's being able to, well, the talent, well, these people are already there. The fans should have loved these people before. It's just something was missing where they weren't out in the masses. It's like I said, the music business, entertainment business, the business side was missing on a lot of stuff. But that and a lot of luck, bro. I got lucky and got, you know, not even the talent side of it. I got good people that are at Mako. Like the artists are actually good people, you know, but it was luck and vision, I guess. I don't know. I'm not good at, like, I don't want to toot my own. I don't know.
Are you having fun?
Huh?
Are you having fun?
Yes, 100%. It's work, but at least I'm getting to do what I love to do. You know, is it grueling sometimes? Yes. Does FJ take that S550 Benz and run it through a 4-foot puddle of water and go, it's not working no more? Yeah, Bubba, you have days like that, you know. But all in all, I'm happy. It's, you're changing lives. It's everything that I wish I would have had when I was an artist. I know they're getting, and that makes me happy, if that makes any sense.
What is your vision for Jay Roosevelt? Because he's a phenomenal talent.
Okay. No, he is.
We haven't touched on him yet.
He's been down. We've got 4 or 5 recorded on him. Jay Roosevelt he can sing, he can rap, he's very versatile in different aspects, right?
Right.
With me and with his stuff, it's trying to fine tune which one of his talents he's actually better at.
Okay.
You know, is it the singing? Is that, but it's going to be a mixture of all of it. I want the music to be different. I want the image. It's just a bunch of stuff, but it's, I mean, you see on the Shark Week thing, it's, everybody was like, oh, well, who was that? Right. People didn't know who he was. They're like, it's going to be this person or that person. Well, it's the person I thought was the best fit. If you're putting together a roster, you don't want 5 girls that sound like Savannah. You want one person that sounds like Savannah, one person that sounds like FJ. Everybody brings in different elements of talent or whatever. I think y'all did a thing that was like, No Limit, this is Silk, and there's C Murder. That's absolutely what it is.
Gotcha.
Why would it not be? Can you name me a fucking label that did better?
Right.
They killed it. You literally bought No Limit albums because the motherfucker said No Limit on it. I remember being pissed the fuck off because I bought Skullduggery CD that sucked. But it still went platinum.
He had that one song, that well from.
That was it.
True, that was it. Yeah. That's where it ended.
Yeah.
I think
he's working in Griffin somewhere.
What?
No, I'm just joking.
Oh. I forgot what we were even fucking talking about. Skullduggery, but having fun, yes. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Having fun, yeah.
Look, I have to ask this, and I'll fucking forget. So I watched a live that you done, and you gave a date. It was like 9/11, 9/30. And you said, like, it was like a goddamn day of country rap atonement. It was basically like, moving forward, it's only positive energy. But you gave a date. And I need to know that date, because I keep saying the wrong damn date every show.
Yeah, you do 7/21, 9/11. You don't gave all the dates.
Oh, I don't remember the fucking date. I remember what it was. Now that you put me on the spot on the fucking date. But even that was...
Hold on, Gator. I got to ask this. Fuck it.
What?
Back in MySpace, you was destroying guys. Now, there was this guy that you ran off MySpace back in the day. John something. What was his name?
John Young.
Yeah. Would you sign him today?
No. We actually came down to Florida looking for him. I'm going to tell you that story. We came down with bad intentions. And we're going, hey, man, anybody, we pulled up in Orlando, literally, bro. Because he did a diss song back, and we're going to make an example out of him. Because back, that crew was a different crew than, whatever. But we're like, hey, man, y'all know who John Young is? Where John Young's at? They're like, yeah, man, go straight down the road. And it's 2 years. I'm going,